The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
I'm all right. I'm tweeting merrily. We've just had a flurry of Twitter through. Just to remind listeners that you can tweet us and we'd love to hear how you're all doing
Use a hashtag.
Little hashtag with a B and bunker. A bunker.
Yeah.
Do you know whenever I type that, it comes up as B Binker? Every time.
Does it?
Every time. I've done some terrible typos this week. You know, because I type quite quickly and then the phone decides what you're going to write.
Have you got nails? Have you got your false nails on? What the problem is?
Not faux, darling. No, they're real ones.
All right.
Serenity Becker, you know. Serenity Health and Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But some terrible typos.
They're her nails, are they?
I've borrowed them. Mm. Hers are much nicer, of course. So I would like to say, I think we're all feeling a bit shell-shocked by this Omicron, however one says it. Am I confused? Because I saw it was called NU for about 3 days. It was called NU, and then suddenly it was called Omicron.
Well, I really couldn't care less.
Well, what I would like to say is that I don't know if you've read the report by the actual doctor that discovered it in South Africa.
While she's going on, we all just had a conflict. We go, we're not going to talk about this, all right? Because it's been the 98,000th week in a row that we've talked about it. So we're not going to talk about it this week. No, of course not. No, this is off air, Paul.
No, but I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about this lovely doctor in South Africa who said, and it's quoted, and I put it out on my Twitter, only extremely mild cases, and there were just chills. There was no loss of taste or smell.
Sure.
And I think we need to just stop this, you know, the government. It's like they're a load of old blokes that just repeat everything that the first one said, and we've got to jab this and we've got to jab that. Well, and I think the public are getting exhausted, quite frankly. We just we've got to work, we've got to get up, we've got to get dressed. And it's a constant fear-mongering.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's just bonkers, isn't it? There's no rhyme. There's no rationale behind any of it. You know, why can you go
to a pub?
Why can you go to a football match with 50,000 people?
Or an Adele concert. Did you see the Adele concert?
And scream and shout, but you can't go down your local shop.
Yeah. I mean, how many were in the London Palladium at the Adele concert?
Well, exactly, you know.
I mean, I loved watching her, Rebecca, did you?
But so it's just political. It's political.
But also the mask wearing. You know, I've got some old mask that's been dragged around in my car. It's in my glove compartment. You know, your average public person is not sterilising their masks and washing their masks. We're not in a lab. We're not in a hospital environment.
Don't even get me started on hospitals. When my mum was in hospital, you'd never seen so many discarding masks in the car park.
I know.
There are hundreds and hundreds of used masks laying around in Maidstone Hospital car park.
Well, where I live on the seafront, they're on the beach, they're everywhere. It's outrageous.
But my point is, it was a hospital car park.
Yeah.
And they still haven't cleaned them up. They're just laying all over the car park. But you try and go to visit someone in the hospital and they go, oh, can you put a fresh mask on?
Yeah, I know. It's very, very difficult. Anyway, I think we're coming up to, we're in the depths of winter. We've had howling winds, we've had rain, we've got people up in Scotland with no power since last Friday cooking. I think the lady I heard this morning was chopping up a wooden cabinet that she had in her lounge to cook outside. She wasn't that desperate. She's in Scotland, she could have salmon.
High fibre, that. Yeah.
Or tatties and neeps. That's my... was it Dr. Finlay impression? I'm so old. Only Paul and I know about Dr. Finlay,
I think. That's true, Janet.
Oh, Janet.
That is true,
But, you know, we've got people without power. It's very, very tough. We've got Christmas looming. We've got kids. My young cleaner, I'll tell you a story, Rebecca, because you're a mum. She's got three children. She works like a trooper. She's a veterinary nurse and a cleaner.
She's a soldier.
She is.
Like a trooper.
So she cleans for us. We love her. And she's £15 an hour. And she works bloody hard. Three kids. So the school holidays are always upon us, aren't they? And she gets really, really quite upset and worried about money because the kids' clubs cost £30 for each child. So that's £90 during the school holidays, which loom all the time. And as she says, if she was on the dole, it would be free.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel a worry for her because, as she said, where's my incentive? Where's my incentive to work? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about this later with the gig economy and everything with Rebecca, that, you know... My opinion is that politicians have been driving this way for a long time. They've been trying to kill any kind of entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, she works really, really hard.
Any kind of self-employment, it's all been moving away from that with dumb regulations. But we'll talk about that later, maybe.
I would like to know who the sponsor is, of course.
I wondered if you were ever going to get around to that.
Yeah, in between the power cuts of Scotland, which are very important. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of Scottish listeners.
We have.
Yeah.
We have indeed got Scottish listeners, except they won't be listening, will they?
No, they've got no electric.
They've got no power.
No, I know.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they fired up their wood-burning stoves and they're getting the internet on that. Oh, no. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the areas covered by Tenterden and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Bethersden, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. You can find out more about the work of the Chamber by going to www.tentertonchamber.org. And a huge thank you to the lovely folks at Tenterden Chamber for sponsoring the Business Bunker Show.
We love you. We love you all. And we love what's happening. You're making Tenterden look all twinkly. In fact, I don't know if you saw my tweet on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to my local high street in, where do I live? Tankerton.
Where do you live? You live in Whitstable.
Tankerton I went to. It's a little bit quieter than Whitstable. And all the twinkly lights were on, and a big thank you to the high street there. And I bought some lovely chilli jam for Christmas presents.
I saw you posting pictures of it, yeah.
Yeah, for Christmas presents. So if they're not listening, they've all got one in their stocking. And I bought some chilli mustard, all made locally. And I ate a lovely roast, Sunday roast, in a local indie restaurant that's surviving. So that's really good. In the winter, they're surviving.
Did you have Brussels sprouts with it?
I did. Well, I had Brussels sprouts in my roast last night. You may have seen my roast.
You have Brussels sprouts with almost every meal you have, including,
I like them.
Including breakfast. Well, it's just as well, really, isn't it?
Tis the season.
Sprouts.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's very important, Paul Andrews, that you don't overcook them, isn't it, Rebecca?
Vital.
Yeah. You just steam them so they've got a nice little bite, little crunch. And then a little bit of butter and black pepper, I think.
And bacon and bacon bits.
Oh, at Christmas.
And chestnuts.
Oh, at Christmas I do them in with lardons and double cream and that. You can't have that every week. You'd be like a monster, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, you'd be waddling into the studio if you had your double cream and your lardons every week.
Is that right?
Sure. I also do a lovely red cabbage at Christmas with apples and cider.
And cabbage, presumably.
Yeah. Cabbage and apples.
Well, if it's red cabbage, presume you've got cabbage in it.
Yeah, red cabbage. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, no, you said you did red cabbage with apples and cider.
Yeah.
I just said
apples. Well, obviously, yeah. But the chopping takes forever, I tell you. It really does.
Does it?
Yeah, I've got one of those electrical choppers, but I never get it off the shelf, so I always end up doing it by hand.
Do you? Are you really quick?
No, I'm terrible, because if you're too quick, you break your nails and you chop your nails and your fingers off, and then you have to go to A&E and wait 8 hours, don't you?
That takes even longer.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
You want one of those Japanese chefs from Benihana's, don't you?
I'd love one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go...
Yeah, they're brilliant, wouldn't it?
I actually bought some... One of my chef friends got me some lovely chef knives, but they're a bit blunt at the moment because I've had them a long time, and I keep asking my new husband to, you know, sharpen them.
Yeah.
In the old days, you'd get blokes coming round knocking on your door, wouldn't you?
You used to. I remember that.
Yeah, rag and bone, and then they'd sharpen everything and,
you know, sharpeners,
take up your slabs on the front garden while they're at it and never see them again.
Did they?
Yeah. Well, it depends what the slabs were, but if it were, what was it, like York stone, you know, they'd pop that in the back of their lorry, wouldn't they?
I don't know. I just used to have the knife sharpener in Shepherd's Bush. It was Steptoe, he was called.
Do you know, I used to go to Shepherd's Bush Market in
there.
The 80s.
Still there, you know.
Oh, I bet it's changed now. Yeah. When I was there, it was very, you know, sort of not shishi.
It's all street food and all that stuff now.
Exactly. And, in my day, it was halal and cabbages and things.
In my day, it was all just knockoff stuff from Peckham, mate.
Del Boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we've come to the nitty-gritty and we know who the sponsor is.
Yep. So you could either read an email or a tweet.
Well, there's a choice. Mm-hmm. I will just pop in just to annoy you. Please remember to support your high street throughout Christmas and your little independents that are there, your baker, your butcher. Even, I must just tell you, Paul Anders, to annoy you, my florist, local florist in Whitstable. I bought some flowers from her, £8. And I could just go in and choose exactly what I wanted. And they were lovely. A little white, can't remember what they were now, freesias or something. And they lasted a whole 8 days, Rebecca. And one day, in a rush, I bought from a chain and they drooped after 3 days and they were £12. So there you go. And you can go into your local florist and she zhuzhes it all up for you and you just plonk it in a vase.
Zhuzhes it up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So remember all your local shops. So this is a new one for me. It's Kuth.
Oh, yeah.
K, like tooth, really.
But with a K.
But with a K.
Yeah.
It's a free online service, Bunker Listener. It's providing young people with a safe and secure means of accessing support with their emotional health and well-being needs. And it's commissioned by Kent, by the NHS Kent and Medway, the CCG that I was talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
Whilst in Medway, it's commissioned by...
Exactly, yeah. Who gave her this email to read?
Exactly.
Say, oh, we just got her off the subject and she's back on.
Well, they wrote to me, Paul Andrews,
yeah,
and told me categorically, do not mix your vaccines. Just no, putting that in there.
Cooties wrote to you and told you that, didn't they?
No, the CCG.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in Kent. I've got it. I'll tweet it out to you in a minute. So, by accessing Kuth, young people can benefit from various things. There's a free, confidential, anonymous and safe way to receive support online. There's an out-of-hours availability. That sounds great. So, counsellors are available from 12 noon to 10 p.m. on weekdays and 6 to 10 p.m. at weekends. So, nice long hours there for people to grab them.
Mm-hmm.
There's online counselling from a professional team of BACP qualified counsellors. And that's available for one-to-one chat sessions or messaging on a drop-in basis or book sessions. It's all text-based, they say. I couldn't text fast enough to say all my ailments. Would take, can you imagine?
That would cramp her style, wouldn't it?
Well, say you've got like
right,
half an hour.
That's what we're doing now. Every week from now on, you can't talk about your ailments, so you can only text me.
All right, I'll text you my ailments. Discussion boards, which are all pre-moderated, which allow young people to access peer-to-peer support. There's an online magazine full of moderated articles. What does that mean, moderated articles, Rebecca? Come on, you're an editor.
Moderated articles.
What does that mean? They've been edited to take out anything important. Yeah. I don't like the sound of that.
And or libelous, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah. Many of which are submitted by young people offering advice and guidance on a huge range of topics. So they've got a moderator like you have on Facebook sometimes for vaccine damage pages and things. Mm. Okay. Young people can register on Kuth independently. So here's your website. If you get a little pen... or you can, of course, text it to yourself, www.kothkuth.com. And it's available for young children and young people in Kent and Medway from the ages of 10 to 25. I think this is brilliant.
I absolutely do.
It really is. And I was saying, you know, how I think for elderly it's been grim, terribly, because they haven't got long left without being awful. You know, you're in your 90s and you've been locked down.
Sure.
For young people at school, terrifying.
I saw a tweet earlier today which really upset me from a young girl. She said she celebrated her 18th birthday on her own and Christmas on her own.
Last year.
Mm. Or the year before. And then it's just been her 19th birthday and she's been locked down again to quarantine. So she's doing it for the second year running. And you're saying, that's appalling.
It is not a life, is it, really? And I think, I was going to the ball, wasn't I? And I just had to think about it.
It was brilliant.
I know, without me. Did you have my share?
I did. I ate your dinner.
You had my gluten-free dinner.
I did, yeah.
I had everything done. I wore my nails and my hair. But my husband was a bit worried. You know, a big group of people. I'm not jabbed. I think the jabs particularly work. But it's become like we've got a family get-together and we were all going to go to a pub in Clapham for lunch next Sunday and stay the night. It was dog-friendly pub. It's the windmill where I used to frequent when I lived in Clapham, on Clapham Common. And I suddenly said to my new husband, do you know what? A pub on a Sunday in Clapham, pub lunch, is going to be heaving with young people breathing all over me. I can't take the risk. So they're all coming to my house and I'm cooking. Again.
Good.
And we were just talking about how, because they're all working in London, how we're going to have two tables in our lounge so that my mum is on a separate table with me and my husband, and then the kids, the adult kids, will be on another table 2 metres apart, which seems balmy, but I think it's the safe thing with a 91-year-old mum. What do you think, Tim?
Well, I don't care what Tim thinks about your blooming health things.
I'll say as well, if the worst thing in your life is having to spend Christmas on your own, you know, there was a period of time where this country was being bombed from the skies on a daily basis. But even though we're living through something pretty bad, it has been worse, and we just muddle on and get on with it. You know, Tim, if you let fear and you let all of this, like, grind you down, what happens when a real crisis comes
along? Sure, that is very
Tim,
true.
My mother said she went through the war. She's 91. She said at least during the war we could hug each other. Mm. And that's the difference that, you know, people, myself included, have got a bit scared of crowds and hugging people. And I went out with some elderly people on Sunday for lunch, and I was sitting next to this lady, and I was very aware, you know, the acoustics in the restaurant were really bad, you know, lots of wooden floors. I was very aware that I couldn't get close to her to talk. So I'm sort of talking like this, you know, shouting.
So there is some benefit.
But it's changed the way that we react to each other, or come on, you know, getting close to people, hugging people. I would normally have hugged Rebecca, but I didn't today. I gave her an elbow. So,
well, that's each individual's personal choice as to their own.
In the ribs. Sorry, darling. We were friends. Sorry, darling.
Can we get on with it?
Yeah, do you want me to? Well, I've just read that.
I know. Well, I want to read one now.
Go on.
And
then.
I don't want to talk about COVID anymore.
You do it so nicely. You read one, darling.
I'm writing to ask you for help in sharing our food loop Christmas appeal with your business, local government and stakeholder network across Kent and Medway. In order to develop the Food Loop app and run a 12-month project to build the community and make the app fit for purpose, we need £43,000. Up to date, we have raised £19,000 through a fundraising campaign, low-case funding and seed funding from a Dutch foundation. So we need 24 grand to go. With this Christmas appeal letter, we want to convince 50 businesses and organisations across Kent and Medway to each donate £500 towards Food Loop and become a Food Loop champion. Our donors do not have to be operational in the food and drink sector. Anyone who is passionate about finding a solution for food waste in Kent and Medway can become a champion. I'm confident we can reach our funding target, but I need your support in getting the message out far and wide by sharing the letter and my LinkedIn posts on social media. That's from Flergy at Producing Kent. So, and Food Loop is an app that they're developing to try to overcome or better handle food wastage in the county. So do check it out by going to www.foodloop.app.
Very commendable. I mean, they're doing a wonderful thing, Producing Kent. Who's seen their new shop in Bluewater?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Very, very, very impressive. I went to the launch of it, and you'd think by looking at the map it was a tiny little sliver. Right. You're going, and it's huge, and it's got a wide range of produce from Kent. It's
such
fantastic.
A great showcase for local produce, food and drink, you know, just to have that statement there in a massive, you know, multinational shopping centre, to have something so local, so visible. I just think that's so important.
Yeah, so if you're in Bluewater or nearby Bluewater or going to Bluewater, go to the Produced in Kent shop.
Absolutely. Right. Do you know what I'm going to do now?
A little bit of tunage.
I'm going to play a bit of tunage, but it's not cheesy.
Oh, what is it? Is it vegan this week?
No. It's a song produced by the Demelza Hospice for Children
Lovely.
Choir.
Smashing.
Called Fall on Me. And they're going to be on the show, on the extra show on Thursday, talking about what this is all about. But I thought I'd just play the song.
Well, I know it.
It was by Andrea Bocelli or whatever it is.
Oh, right. Opera. Opera.
Yeah, Fall on Me, it's called.
No, I don't know it.
This is their version of it.
I love the Demelza Hospice. I used to do quite a lot of work with them back in my PR for the local papers days. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
There you go. Fall on Me.
It's quite poignant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Straight through my soul. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio. In association with Biz Radio, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and Jules Serkin.
Hello. Okay, so we've got 22 artists and makers and designers, and they're going to show their work during one weekend. And this is at the Designers and Makers Market. They have jewellery, ceramics, hats. We all love a hat in this weather. Woodwork and stationery. And you can find them in stunning Margate at the Turner Contemporary. That is, if you want the postcode, if you're driving, it's Charlie Tango 9, 1 Hedgehog Gorilla. it's on Friday the 3rd of December, 6 to 8 p.m., some stalls, and then Saturday the 4th of December, which is this weekend, and Sunday the 5th of December. And the hours for those are 10:30 to 4 on the Sunday the 5th and 10:30 to 5 on the Saturday. You can go to kentcreative.org/event/designers and you'll find it there. Or go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you'll find all of our events and everything we mention will be on there. But, of course, if you're in Margate afterwards, there's some stunning independent restaurants there. You can have a little noggin afterwards and a little nibble of something.
Is that right?
Yeah. Some great restaurants in Margate.
I haven't been to Margate for quite a while, actually.
I'll take you if you want.
Yeah. It has upped its game a lot since opening of the Turner Contemporary.
And, of course, I was telling you about Folkestone last week. Folkestone is rocking, although a developer there, I can't remember who it was, is going to create a Folkestone Garden City in Folkestone, apparently. Did you read about that?
No, Folkestone Garden City.
He's going to make a garden estate, and somebody said, I wish they wouldn't call it garden because it's just a load of
flowers.
No, it's just a load of houses crammed on with plastic grass and no solar panels.
Oh, right, OK.
Don't get me going. But apparently, yeah, they're calling this new city they're going to build in Folkestone. Do you know, Paul Andrews, there's a litter picking trial set up in July?
Oh, yeah.
By Danny Lucas.
Yeah, I remember.
Who's a businessman. And he's got volunteers to clear and maintain a stretch of the A20 in Wrotham.
Or
whatever you call it.
Wrotham.
Has just been extended with support from Harry Rayner, who's a county member of Malling West. Mm. All these Elizabethan names. Mm. So initially, the Littlegram adopted zone was a particularly bad area in Kent on the London Road in Wrotham. And Mr. Lucas arranged a series of work parties, which resulted initially in 150 sacks of roadside debris, weeds and litter. Maybe they should leave for the weeds, though, because weeds are quite good, but I agree with the litter. Mm. And cleaning of unreadable safety signs. Following correspondence and support from Harry Rayner, member for Malling West, the extended zone will now incorporate north and west of the White Hill roundabout to include the Gravesend roundabout and then northwest along both sides of the A20 to the M20 slip road and lots of others. And there's extra funding which is provided by KCC directly to Littlegram on a monthly basis. So well done, guys. That's brilliant. We have similar in Whitstable. We have beach cleans that we do.
Yeah. Danny has been doing this for a couple of years now, this clean-up thing, and he produced an app and everything to so that you could... What you could do, you could report fly tipping and stuff via the app, and then he would send out people and clear it up, basically.
It's a great idea, and as he said, it's Cossack, so what do you need? A couple of bin liners, maybe some of those sticky things that you pick it up with.
Yeah.
When I take my hound for a walk, I always take a bag and, you know, get a few things. And there's some awful things on the beach. Lots of glass where we live, because it sounds awful, but the kids in summer have games where they put bottles of beer on the groins and then throw pebbles at them.
Yeah.
And I've sort of gone up and talked to them about it. I don't get very far. They don't tell me to bugger off, but bum off, sorry. They do sort of continue throwing pebbles. Luckily, we're not on the BBC, Rebecca, isn't it?
We'd be off air.
I'm scripted with them, you know, darling. Yeah. Can't go off script.
Thank you for that. Gosh, she's annoying me today. I know. She really is annoying.
You know what it is?
When you're triggered, Paul.
When I have a relapse, I get very rebellious, you see. When I have a AZ relapse, it makes me cross and rebellious. That's
I'm counting the number of times she shoehorns it into the conversation.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's frightening, isn't it? Yeah.
It's quite easy.
A little bingo card going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a boomerang.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what?
Should we talk to somebody sensible?
I would actually much prefer to talk to somebody sensible.
We're going to talk to Tim or
Rebecca?
We're
going to talk to Tim.
Lovely.
Yeah, because he's incredibly sensible.
And he looks dapper. He always makes an effort.
He's dapper and sensible.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about AstraZeneca.
No. Tim doesn't know about it anyway.
You're joking.
She's pitching for, what? You've got your card, Mark.
You know me so well.
Yeah.
Anyway, he always makes an effort when he comes in the studio. He's got a little neckerchief and a little thingy bobby coming out of his pocket. What do you call that?
Pocket handkerchief.
But it's got a word. It's got a word, isn't it?
It's a pocket handkerchief.
Oh, okay. Well,
And he hasn't got a neckerchief.
It's not really a handkerchief, though. It's not something you blow your nose on.
He's not got a cravat.
It's not something you blow your nose on, then boil it up in a saucepan for 20 minutes.
Or a smoking jacket. No, he's just...
Or slippers.
He looks dapper, but that is not a handkerchief. It's not something you wipe your nose on, then boil up in a saucepan for 20 minutes.
It's called, the official name for it is a pocket handkerchief.
Okay, but you don't blow your beak on it.
It's an element of style that more people should embrace.
Do you ever wear a cravat or anything?
No.
Do you ever wear a cummerbund?
A what?
That's a
cummerbund?
A cummerbund, you know.
Cummerbund, when you've got a black tie, yeah.
Yeah, and do you ever wear a cravat?
No.
Okay.
You've braces? Asked that twice.
Braces.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The suits. The suits I've got have got the braces buttons in belts.
I love braces.
Restrict. I don't like belts.
Yeah. I do like braces. Yeah.
Sartorial elegance.
More men should wear braces, Paul Andrews.
I don't like braces.
I do, because I could ping them. Then.
If they're clip-on, they're an abomination. But if they're buttoned, then they're just right.
Okay.
But it's very hard to get the appropriate trousers with the that are made specifically for button braces.
Well, that's what Tim said.
He's got some of the ones off the peg suits I got. I just got the dry cleaners to sew buttons on the inside of the waist.
But in the day when it was a thing... The trousers used to have bits at the back. Anyway, she's deflected it again. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show Mr. Tim Aker. Tim is the Business Development Manager for Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway. Tim, welcome back on the
show. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry about her.
I think he's used to me. He's been on a few times.
I survived the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we had a bit of fun the first time, but she's annoying me now.
It's not difficult.
How long has this show been running for?
Yeah, 14 years. Yeah,
I've annoyed him from day one.
And it's finally got to me.
Like Terry and June.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, welcome back. Why don't we... you know, we're kind of approaching the end of another year, another kind of weird year with all the lockdowns and all the effects that it's had on small businesses and all the things that we've done and all the rules and regulations that keep changing. Why don't you just kind of give us an overview on where the FSB are seeing things at the moment in terms of the small business marketplace? What's going on? What's happening? What are the things that we're kind of talking about?
Well, we've had two surveys, our small business index, since the end of lockdown. And the one produced after the lockdown showed a lot of confidence that the shackles were off and people were free to trade again. And it was optimistic. They were very, very optimistic, our members. And then, bang, along comes the national insurance tax increase.
Yeah.
And talk about pulling the... It's sabotage.
Yeah,
there's no other word for it. They talk about small businesses being the backbone of the recovery, and have taken all the punishment that has come from being locked down, and they've got all of these loans to repay, all the furlough to repay.
Yeah,
and then just as they're looking to get back into the black, they say, "Well, next April you're." National Insurance will go up. Mm. And our research has shown that 50,000 jobs are at risk because of that.
Yep.
So not only have small businesses had to compete with the minimum wage going up.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a criticism against the minimum wage. I believe that if the minimum wage goes up, then so should the tax thresholds, so that there is some compensation for that.
Yeah.
Because you're just asking them, you're giving them more and more and more burdens.
Yeah.
What do they want to do? Just clear out everything so that it's a nation of supermarkets. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So we've had the budget, which, again, it's like they're trying to fix an arterial bleed with a plaster.
Mm.
You know, business rates. The rates that everyone hates and no one can quite get their head around.
I couldn't believe this. The government announced that they were going to review business rates on a more often basis.
3 years.
As if it was positive.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is, it ain't ever going to go down.
No, just leave it alone sometimes.
Well, it's a case they've said, okay, for small independent retail, there's a 50% reduction.
Yeah.
That's great, but it's only for a year.
Yeah.
So they've already said, we're going to take from the national insurance, but we'll give you this, but it'll only be temporary.
Yeah.
I was looking at Tankerton High Street, and there's a lot of new sort of developments. There were flats above, some for rent, some for purchase. And then underneath, they've got retail. And some of the rents are like 25 grand just to start. I was saying to my new husband, you've got to then pay all your rates and your electric and your gas. You've got to take a lot of money then if you're a small, let's say a cafe that's going to have, 20 covers?
Yeah.
How can that be, 20, you know, with rents like that?
It's iniquitous. This is the problem. They don't understand the dynamic effects of lower taxes.
Yeah.
Right. On the one hand, whenever they want to penalise something, they put the taxes up.
Sure.
So I take it as read that they want to penalise small businesses. But actually, when you saw the growth and the opportunities after lockdown, the government should have actually come out with a national insurance reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to find, and it's a sad thing to say, that if small businesses go from the high street,
yep,
developers will jump in and turn them into flats.
Yeah, that's all it will
be. Which causes your infrastructure problems everywhere.
A flat, so your average flat, you've got two cars for a start that can't park.
Nope.
And then they've got to drive everywhere because there's no bakers, butchers, whatevers in the high street.
Mm. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And so it's a case of, I know everyone does have the right, you know, they say we should be doing this, but please do use your independent retailers. You know, we've ordered our Christmas meats from local butcher in Longfield.
Good.
So please just do that. You know, you might think it's more expensive, but more often than not, it's not.
No.
And you know where it's from.
And you'll get a bit of advice how to cook it. Your joint and things.
Exactly, and they can prepare it. You go to a butcher and they can, you know, make sure French trim the lamb cutlets. They can
bit of
dress up the beef joint. I mean, it's great. I love using the local small businesses because not only supporting a local business, but you know where the meats come from.
What you're getting.
Yeah. And that's supporting a farmer, and that's supporting another industry, which you don't want to go, because if a farmer's looking at his land and thinking, well, I'm not making much of for this, and then the developer comes along and says, well, we'll give you a lot of money for your land, it's a no-brainer. You know, so we need to be using our small businesses more.
Well, remember back in lockdown, who was supporting everybody that was stuck at home? It wasn't the supermarkets, it was your local greengrocer, bakers that were actually dropping off food to us, to my mum, who was 91.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it wasn't the suit. We couldn't get a slot for the supermarkets.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem I see with this is up front, you kind of thought, oh, well, they haven't thought this through. And then the longer it goes on, you think, you've got to be supremely stupid to carry on with this and not recognise what's going on here. You know, we just went through 18 months of the government printing money and giving it to people willy-nilly and saying, you can pay this back sometime. Then they heaped a load of extra costs on the very businesses that haven't been trading for 18 months.
Mm.
And when they do start trading, they've got massive debts that they have to repay.
Mm-hmm.
and I read it last week, so I haven't got it this week. But Keston Reeves, the accountant firm, did a survey of 6,500 firms, and they found 51% were in no position to pay back their loans.
Yeah.
So there's going to be defaults. Mm. And, you know, the banks don't care because the banks are guaranteed by the government.
Yeah.
So it's taxpayers' money that's gone down the drain. But worse than that, you've killed huge amounts of businesses.
Small businesses.
And with the printing of money, you've got an inflation spike that's coming. Yeah. Well, you know, they were saying all along, the Bank of England was saying, well, it's only transitory inflation. Look, the problem with inflation is when it's at, for instance, 4%, which it is now, the wheels are in motion for it to be 7%.
Yeah, well, in Germany, it's 6% this morning,
yeah.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Well, the markets have crashed again, haven't they? Yeah. My new husband was saying, because of this Omicron thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we're in weird times where the government don't seem to appreciate what they're doing in terms of their approach to small businesses.
Well, their problem is they've got to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than letting people get on with it, they've always got to meddle and interfere and create more reasons for their own existence,
yeah,
of more meddling, which then creates more problems, which then they think they've got to be compelled to solve.
Yeah.
And it's a ridiculous cycle, and they should just leave us alone.
Yeah, I've seen so many memes about that, you know, that politicians create a problem so that they can then solve it and then create another problem.
Well, I heard when I was a politician, I'm not going to name the party that was accused of this, and I don't know whether they did it or not, but they would, in the night, go and spray graffiti on a wall, point at it for their newsletters,
yeah,
and then clear it off and point it again, showing that they've cleared it off.
Right.
What they could have done is had a business, you know, for clearing graffiti and actually charged to
oh, they probably
clear
did.
It off.
Oh, they probably did.
Or not graffitied the wall in the first place.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, Rebecca.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got lots of challenges that the small business community are going to be facing over the coming months and during 2022.
But it's not all doom and gloom.
No.
It's not all doom and gloom because next year we have the big opportunity with a London resort up in the north of the county,
yeah,
which is going to be huge. I mean, it's billions of pounds of private investment,
yeah,
tens of thousands of jobs, and the resort have opened a small business hub. So this is still open. So any listeners with a business, if you think that the London Resort, which isn't a theme park, it's going to be all encompassing. So it's got restaurants, entertainments and so on. So if you think that your business could contribute to this and have a role to play in it, go to the London Resort website and sign up to their small business hub. And the Lower Thames Crossing is doing exactly the same as well. They have a small business hub. So there are opportunities there for small businesses to get a piece from the bigger projects going on. But there are reasons to be cheerful going into the new year, even though we'd like there to be more.
You are right. I mean, and as with everything, isn't it? It's not everything is all one way. There's been a lot of investment in new technology. There's been a lot of investment in the country overall in terms of manufacturing. And we've attracted a lot of inward investment. I saw a report yesterday from City AM saying that the EU have finally given in and accepted that the City of London is supreme in terms of financial services.
Colour me surprised.
Yeah, yeah. and they've given up trying to kill them. There are positives. Of course there are. But it's just, as a small business owner myself, it's just when you sit there and you think, just as you said earlier, just leave us alone. We're not even asking you to do anything.
Just let us get on with it.
Leave us alone to get on with it. Stop coming up with these harebrained schemes. Okay, so but as you say, and we've got a number of things we're going to talk about as the show unfolds in terms of emails, in terms of new business developments that are happening in the county. Not to preempt it, but at Maidstone, at the old Aylesford paper mill, they're just about to open a DHL logistics centre, which will create 3,000 jobs there. The problem we've got with the jobs market at the moment is it's bonkers. We've got 1.8 million unfilled jobs. Can't get anyone to do a job. Nobody wants a job at the moment. Now,
yeah, but hang on, have we got all of these people unemployed?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. The system's just backward.
It just doesn't work.
It's backward.
Yeah. It's
What would you do about it, Tim?
If you're claiming the government's coin, you should work for it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, what way does there's
plenty of jobs.
We're in a blessed cycle where it's a buyer's market. Mm. If you are looking for work, it's a competition now for people who can pay you higher wages.
Yeah.
You know, I know a friend of mine who's a truck driver, £35 an hour.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Absolutely fantastic wages.
Yeah. 18 months ago, it was £12 an hour. Mm. Yeah. So you're right. There is this demand.
I have noticed the roads are a lot busier with trucks. Have you? Lorries, as we call them in England. But have you noticed that there's a lot more freight on the road?
Mm.
Yeah,
it's the catching up with the end of the lockdown.
But again, you know, there are structural issues coming out of the last 18 months that have completely moved the job market in a strange way. Yeah, because so many people were furloughed and were sitting at home on 80% pay and then 60% pay, and because we're approaching December, where people are just going, do you know what? I'm not moving jobs now. The kind of feedback that I'm getting from that is, one, I'm not going to look for another job right at the moment. Two, I've just persuaded my employers to let me work from home. If I move, I've got to go back to work, and I don't want to do that. So there's a whole heap of different things that are affecting the market that are all new in terms of their impact on what's going on. But the frustrating thing as an employer is you just can't get anyone. You just can't get anyone to work. And it's, you know, it's right across the board in all kinds of industries. You know, hospitality is particularly badly hit as an industry, and so is care.
Yeah.
And then you've got the government sacking care workers. I mean, how brilliant is that? You know, 50,000 care workers they've sacked.
And in April, it's going to be NHS workers, so they're saying.
That's never going to happen.
Cannot.
I'm telling you now, it's never going to happen because it would kill them.
I don't really understand the care workers, though, because surely a lot of care homes are privately run, and so can't the boss of the privately run one make their own decisions? And do they have to go by government rules?
Well, of course they do. Yeah.
Do they?
They're regulated.
It's regulated. It's a regulated market. Mm. It's part of the regulations. That's how they impose it. It's part of the Care Commission.
I know, for example, at the Good Shed in Canterbury, Susanna there, who I know really well, and they had to close the restaurant for breakfast and things, and also certain sittings because they just couldn't get enough staff. They couldn't get hospitality staff, which is crazy, you know. Just
which
mad.
Is crazy when you've got millions of people still
out
registered unemployed.
Mm.
And it's again, it's the government bowing down to the house-bound mouth breathers and the Twitter mob that wield unbelievably disproportionate amounts of power, that when they do the slightest thing to try and encourage people back into work, they go, oh, no, you're stamping on the poor and creating all sorts of mess that they then back down on. Mm. It's time for them to toughen up and support businesses and say, look, you know, it's well, workfare's been around for decades now.
Mm.
If you're taking the government's coin, you'll do a job.
Work ethic is so important. Like, you know, when I was a mum at home, I've said this before on air, but when I was at home with three kids, I used to get depressed because I was in the house all the time, just cooking and cleaning. And actually, work is what we need, you know, getting out, speaking to people, having a bit of banter. Yeah. It, you know, it brightens up your day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people at home on furlough or whatever they've been doing will be depressed now and maybe have lost confidence at going out and getting a job. I don't know.
I think there's all kind of ramifications from the lockdowns and the working from home issues that we've had over the last 18 months. And as for certainly its impact on mental health.
Huge.
I think the ramifications of this will be coming out over the next 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years as we see a lot of the effects of it all.
Well, Rebecca Nutt, my friend, who has two health salons, beauty salons, Faversham and Swalecliffe, is looking for two receptionists at the moment.
Yeah.
Trying to find a receptionist. It's a fabulous job.
Mm.
Trying to find a receptionist. She's been looking for months to find someone of the calibre that she needs to answer the phone and book appointments.
She won't find anyone of any calibre. There's just nobody applying for jobs.
Mm.
Have you seen, I mean, on Twitter for the last 3 weeks, Indeed have been advertising like mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just everybody's ignoring them.
Mm. And have we lost all our Polish friends and our Romanian friends?
Yeah, but But that's a poor excuse, because it's as bad in Poland and Germany and France and the United States.
For drivers, especially, I was seeing in Romania.
Everywhere. Mm. This is not a British problem. It's a global, or it's a Western problem. We have the same
issues. But it's Paul, forgive me, it's the skill. Every 3 or 4 years, they all come out and say, oh, there's a skill shortage and a skills crisis. Mm. And it goes all the way back to nice Mr. Blair saying that half of the kids who go to school are going to go to university, which has created an imbalance.
Yeah.
And all it gives you, I mean, my two of mine are paying off huge student loans, trying to pay rent in London, paying off student loans as well. What a start to life.
Mm. Yeah.
But again, this is politicians interfering in markets without really thinking about the ramifications of what they're doing. And you're quite right, we've had loads of shortages of tradespeople, because so few people have gone into trades. More and more people have gone to university, and we've opened up new universities and ex-polytechnics and all the rest of it as universities. I'm not overly fussed about the kind of things that people study at university. You know, a lot of people moan and go, oh, they're studying worthless things. It's not that they're studying worthless things. The thing that universities have to face is that most employers don't really care anymore. I've got a massive survey from a couple of years ago where employers were asked about qualifications from school, college and university, and less than 4% of employers said they were even asked what qualifications you had. They just didn't care anymore. It's just not what they want. What they want is a work ethic and an attitude.
Absolutely. It's about a mindset and attitudes, as much as it is sector specific knowledge. It's absolutely right. And I think why lots of people went to university, because they thought they were going to get a higher paid job out of it.
Yeah. Well, some do.
And that's the wrong way to look at it. University is about learning and knowledge and being able to think critically, which if you're doing forensic science or football studies, you still develop the critical faculties to be able to do that. The problem is that, again, we've got an all must have prizes culture.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, right, well, if I go to university, I'll be earning 100 grand when I leave and it'll be good. Which was just shoddy thinking.
But
apprenticeships is another thing, though, isn't it? It is hard for, I mean, my plumber's desperate. He's booked up 7 months in advance, and I've mentioned apprenticeships, and he said, I just can't get the right calibre of people yet again.
The problem is, you have to think this through from a realistic point of view, with things like plumbing and electricians and all the rest of it, there's a huge amount of regulations for a start in those marketplaces, and there are things you have to be qualified to do, you know, like what were we on, 17th edition or 18th edition electricians, gas safety if you're going to work on heating systems. Okay, and you're trying to encourage people into an industry, and gas safe is one of those industries where anybody new coming into it is going to go, I don't even need to look at gas boilers because the government are going to talk about doing away with them.
They'll have to learn how to take them out, and that's about it.
Yeah. the trouble with political initiatives.
Meddling.
I'm trying to be kind to them. The trouble with political initiatives is they don't take account of the long-term consequences of any of the actions that they're making. Yeah. But coming back to the problem with plumbing and the construction trades, historically, most of the people, a huge percentage of the people that work in construction are self-employed. Yeah. Now, why is a self-employed person going to take on an apprentice? They're not. And the big building companies, the big construction companies, will take a few apprentices, but not many, because that's not how they... that's not how they service what they're doing, because the construction companies operate in the gig economy, which we're going to talk about in the second half of the show.
Nice segue into that.
Yeah, you see what
very smooth there, Paul.
Yeah, because you know that is a thing that's been forever. Yeah, the gig economy is a fairly new phenomena for a lot of people, but things like the construction industry and the creative industries like film, TV have been in the gig economy since they were invented as industries, and that's why it becomes hard to get apprentices into those fields.
Plus, your apprentices have to have a car or transport if they live somewhere like Thanet or Rutland or, you know, places where you can't just grab a bus that goes from A to B. They've got to have transport of some sort if they're young.
Yep.
So they've got to be able to afford a car.
Well, or be able to fill it up.
Yeah. Petrol shortages, we've got over that now, haven't we?
Well, it's the price of it.
The price is unbelievable.
It's astonishing. During the lockdown when it went right down.
Yeah.
And now...
Well, they're clawing it back, aren't they? As soon as we engineered a petrol shortage for a couple of weeks so that everybody could ramp the prices up to claw back what they lost over
And then it never goes down.
And then it went back down.
Yeah.
Cool. We got a few minutes before we join the newsroom on Channel Radio. So, Tim, fantastic discussing all of those issues as you see the impacts on small and medium-sized businesses. What else is happening locally with the FSB? I'm going to do all the news roundup of the FSB in the second half of the show and all the actual events that are going on. But so what kind of things do you have? Where's the direction of travel at the moment? Where are the things that are taking up your thoughts as an organisation in terms of where we need to be?
Well, locally, we're revamping our networking. So we'll be having Kent-wide networking every month online. We'll be having a Women in Enterprise every month online. And the plan is, at the minute, to go back to a version of in-person networking. But obviously, the rules are the rules, and we have to wait and see on that. Projects-wise, I'm looking at procurement. There's a fantastic model called the Preston model, where Preston Council have revolutionised their procurement way they go about introducing small and local businesses into the procurement process. So I'll be focusing a lot on that next year. So you have to invite me back to talk about
it. Of course. I mean, and that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's another one that local politicians come out with all the time. You know, we're going to use more local suppliers. And then when you try and tender for anything, they go, well, you're not big enough.
But then the Preston has turned that on its head by breaking up the contracts.
Right, okay.
So if they're small, bite-sized contracts, the big boys aren't interested.
Right.
But your small and local suppliers are. Right. And if you're using local businesses, it's fewer air miles, you're keeping the money in the local economy. There's no downside to it at all.
Right. Tim, thank you so much for that update on the Federation of Small Business. Pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to join the newsroom shortly. But for the moment, Tim Acker, Business Development Manager of the FSB Kent and Medway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've got a tweet from Whitcomb HR. And they say, Jill, they put you first.
I know. Who can blame them? You can clear your throat, darling. That's fine.
Thank you.
Nobody's listening because apparently we've got gremlins.
We have got gremlins still, yeah.
What? So they put me first?
Yeah, they've got Jill Serkin and Vanilla Webb. We'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show today for Whitcomb HR's brand-new product, the Newbie Box, a one-stop for all of your HR needs when comes to onboarding and looking after your new or existing employees. So thank you. Give them a follow on the Twitter. It's Whitcomb, Whitcombe, Whitcomb HR, and find out about their new newbie box. I think you've offered them an interview on the show as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've asked them to DM them, and then we'll get some dates and we'll get them on.
Yeah,
we do like a new thing, don't we?
We do indeed.
Whatever the thing is, but we do like a new HR initiative,
right?
And we have our friend Steph listening in Cape Town.
Cool, fantastic.
No doubt she's got a little snifter of some nice Cape Townish wine.
You reckon? Stellenbosch.
Stellenbosch or Constantia. Constantia is very pleasant too.
Tenterson Chamber, how about a shout out for the show sponsor? You missed it at the beginning. Looking forward to seeing Tenterton featured on BBC South East tonight with Tenterton Town Council. So we'll look out for that. And that's BBC South East apparently featuring Tenterton.
A beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
Where you live.
It's where I live.
Must be.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is... who is it?
Casey Canine's been on. Your dog fancier.
Yeah, yeah. I have a new rescue greyhound, Rebecca, and Casey Canine is a friend who lives in Tenterton, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Another rescue greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
My greyhound's having rice and live yogurt this morning. She stole some pork sausages from my carrier bag from the local butcher, Tim. And I was chatting to someone and she snaffled them out the carrier bag that I'd put on the floor, and now she's been a bit poorly. two raw sausages she ate.
That will learn her, won't it?
No, it won't. Right. She's a greyhound.
Okay. Do you know what we're going to do?
News.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Find out what delights are happening.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the lovely Rebecca Smith.
Rebecca Smith, yeah. Can't wait to hear all about her gig economy.
Absolutely. So here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.